Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
to Blog Talk Radio. This is Team of Voices presents Off the Rack with Raconteur. That would be me. And that was Shout Even Shy singing our very own Jay Hatter's Words You Cannot Say. Not the Moody Blues, but we're going to be playing some music tonight. How you doing, Hatter?
I'm okay. Excited for about the blues.
Breathing's a good thing, right?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Say it again.
I said breathing's a good thing, right? I hear you breathing.
Oh, yeah.
We got hiding behind the studio, hiding behind the curtain, messing with the studio, helping us out. How you doing, Deb?
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Deborah.
That is my witness. I swear I thought things could fly.
Yeah. I sent you something. Could you load that for me, please? It's a go now.
Okay, I can. Right now I'm putting in White Christmas.
Okay.
Happy Christmas. And
okay.
And then I'll go grab that one.
Okay, well, that was the Moody Blues first hit. Real hit. So we'll play that last.
You know, for me, music is an adventure, but I tend to sit back and enjoy it, and then, you know, the trivia kind of comes later. I love listening to the songs, and then half the time I forget who it is that it is that's in the band or who's singing it, and sometimes I'll attribute it to the wrong band, but, you know, when I hear something that I like, you know, it kind of sticks with you to the point that, you know, it'll bother me in the middle of someone's conversation. They'll say something that'll make me think of the lyrics to a song. I'll be like, ah, sure. Wait a minute, what song is that? And sometimes I'll even screw up the lyrics and be like, you know, it sounds like this. It reminds me of this. And it really, really irritates me sometimes. But I think we've got some great music ahead of us for tonight. You know, the Moody Blues is an older band. I know my father used to listen to it, so that makes it old. It's in my father's day, you know.
Hey.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they've been around a while, you know. That's not a negative.
They have.
They're kind of timeless. There aren't too many bands that have a full orchestra backing them up, too. So, you know, that's another thing they got going for them.
That was contributed to a special keyboard that they got. They're playing keyboard to get that symphonic background.
You're right.
That's a keyboard. That's one keyboard that his name is slipping me. Keyboard. Yeah, here it is. The Mellotron, an electronic keyboard that reproduces orchestral sounds. They did it well, too.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. You know, sometimes you'd be listening and then, you know, and I don't know, just the full orchestra kicks in and the amazing lyrics. They had that tone. I almost want to say it kind of reminds me of the way that he writes. You know, they get that speak sometimes that ancient almost, you know?
Well, it's because there are chord progressions that will affect animals and us. There's certain, like it'll lift you up. It feels good. I have things happy. And they've got chord progressions that's just sorrowful. And it's just, you know, and an orchestra can emphasize that and really make it deep. I always thought the bands that used that Mellotron or did have an orchestra behind them, was a great thing to do. Like you said, it's got that special sound.
Their arrangement is incredible. You know, I mean, you could pick almost any song, and there's a whole production to it that, like, you know, it's not just the way that the song sounds or even the lyrics by itself. It's the combination of the way that they do it that just makes it such a thing. You know, it really just, I mean, it resonates with me. I remember
the album. Oh, go ahead.
Which
the album Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past. It has Nights White Satin Tuesday Afternoon on it.
Uh-huh.
They were approached because they had that Mellotron. They were approached by an electronic company to create music that would like a surround sound.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to be able to make us put it in tracks, and they wanted to use that that Mellotron, which sounds all symphonic. So that's how it got started with the Nights in White Satin, and they ended up piecing what they had together because it was received so well, and that was like the first themed album.
I'm gonna throw Deb a curveball because I know it's not in the studio, but one of the first Moody songs that I heard was "Ride My Seesaw," and there's a poem that he does before he gets into the music of it. That's really, you know. I don't know who it really sounds like. It's just it's just the way that he did it.
Yeah, he goes crazy.
I don't know if I go that far. It is hypnotic, So, you know, the way he recites it, full production.
You know what, Rax? I've got that version in loaded up. So we want to go ahead and play that, and then I'll do some background of the band itself.
That'd be great.
Be ride my seesaw.
Yeah, as long as it's got the introduction, it's got to have the poem,
because
I think that's actually a different name, that one.
Okay. It does.
Okay.
Because it begins with a poem, and the thing ends with nice white satin. Another poem, breathe deep in gathering gloom, watch white fade from every room. Passion lovers. Cold heart door. Through the night. Is Deborah, can we put seesaw? Oh, you know what?
Did you just say you have that, Hatter?
He did.
I sent it to you.
When?
Oh, the one. I'm sorry.
You just sent go now.
Well, yeah, that's the one I sent you to load. Thank you. But can you, the one earlier, seesaw? Ride my seesaw.
Earlier, dear heart, you sent Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
I'll just read you the list. Tuesday afternoon, go now. Happy Christmas. Nights in white satin. Singer in a rock and roll band. Story in your eyes. Okay. Seesaw. You are correct. I don't see it.
Oh, cool.
Okay, here it comes. Here it comes.
Cool. Thank you. Ride my seesaw.
Be it sight, sound, smell, or touch, there's something inside that we hate so much. The sight of a touch, or the scent of a sound, or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories hoard and to use them to help.
Take a
was one of the songs that propelled the Moody Blues to their comeback in the early 1980s. And of their newest songs, it appeals to the most strongly to fans of their original work. Written by Justin Hayward, the lyrics have the same philosophical tone of the song of the songs of the late 60s. The song is ultimately urgent and hopeful about the future, and it is seems to be telling listeners that they face major choices of how their world will turn out, and that there is great hope. Yeah, I don't get that. What do you think?
I think the beauty of this is that it draws you in before you understand the depth of it. You know, before I ever even started to appreciate what they were talking about, you know, the hook grabs you, the guitar grabs you, the production and the laughter, and then, you know, later on when you listen to it again, it's like, oh, you know, that was a cool poem, you know. And then, I mean, I can't tell you how long I was listening to that song before I realized that the poem was part of the same song, you know. And then, you know, he's talking about just something that we all experienced in childhood, you know, that the stupid seesaw and you know, the ups and downs, you know, the complexity of that kind of metaphor that he's talking about. And if you tie that into the song, it's like, wow, we could probably talk about this thing all night, you know. It's just one of those things. I really appreciated their work, all of it.
My seesaw was so like, hear my drummer, listen to my voice, hear what I have to say, and stride my seesaw. So there's a movement. So this is, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the idea of something like this, at least for me, you know, if you step back a second and think about that stupid ride, you know, all it does is it goes up and down, you know, and you know, the playground idea of it, you know, it has to do with you need someone to do it, so there's the cooperation involved in it, because you can't ride a seesaw by yourself, you know. So there's that idea wrapped up in that song, on top of everything else, you know, life's ups and downs, you know, that hits me in you know, the idea of the song. It's just incredible to me. And then the production of it, you know, the whole, I don't know, the tune.
You know what it is? What it is your first physics lesson.
Uh-huh.
Where you have to sit per the size of your person on the other side. What, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
It's a balance. You learn about balance and weight distribution.
You get the fat kid on the other side.
Then he
jumps off the seesaw and makes you crash to the ground.
Yeah, first that he pops you up in the air, and then he lets it go, and bam.
There's that idea, too.
Well, I'll get the facts here. Let me get back to my page.
The
Moody Blues was a British rock band formed in Birmingham, West Midlands, England, 1964, and credited as the pioneer of the subgenre now called art rock or classical rock that blends pop and classical music. The original members were Mike Pinder, the Ray Thomas. Graham Edge, and Denny Lane. They have this all these dates. You don't need to know their birthdays and stuff. Let's see. This is sort of weird. This just goes over real quick how Justin Hayward arrived. And it doesn't say. God damn. Let me get to another page. Yeah, I remember Moody Blues. One time we were hiked into this gold town in the Sierras, and you could only drive so far, but there was a fire break you could walk up to. It was about 5 or 6 miles in, and it was snowing lightly when we started. We parked the cars, got our backpacks, and headed up the hill. I brought a stereo with me that you carried like a briefcase, but it could break into two parts, and it had hooks on the back, so in my backpack I could have it hooked on and playing music. So we played Moody Blues. By the time we got there, and the day we left, it was a whiteout. We were walking in a blizzard. It wasn't no wind. It was just dumping powder snow fast. Playing Moody Blues, and it was cool. Echoing through the
mountains. I would have had fun on that trip.
It was just nothing but white. Nothing but white around us. And Moody
I
Blues.
Bet just
the only thing I couldn't hear it well because I had it on my back. But that's what Moody Blues reminds me of. I had two or three of their albums. I had lots of In Search of the Last Chord, Days of Future Past, and
Ride My Seesaw came off of, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh man, I would be wrong if I tried to guess. At least I sort of trippy. Well, yeah, here we go. The Moody Blues. Okay. Now I know that the Graham Edge, I believe he's the drummer. He is a poet also, and he goes around and his poetry recitings, and there are tapes, videos of him. Put Graham Edge. Poem, so I'm sure it'll come up.
The thing I loved about
okay.
the poem in the beginning was that he broke out into that to use them to help us.
Yeah. So I love to brother the brand of the sun. Yeah. Let the fun. Does that look fly with the wing?
Yeah, he got excited, man.
Yeah.
To lie in the
middle of
the have all these things in our memories hoard and to help us to find.
Yeah. I think Donovan did in the beginning of Aquarius.
I think
the scientist, the mathematician, the poet, the physician, gathered.
I think it him. Him, I think, is Sunshine.
Way down, yeah. Way down below the ocean. Way down. Way down above the ocean. Africa. Good song. Let's see. Moody Blues began the British Invasion rhythm and blues group with the hit single Go Now, and we just loaded that up. I hope it's getting loaded. That was their first hit in 1964.
Of course.
Cool. You're so good. It says, after the change in band members, including the departure of Denny Lane, who later joined Paul McCartney's Wings, and the addition of Hayward and Lodge, those are the two frontmen, two blonde guys,
right.
The group released a landmark Days of Future Past, released in Britain in late 1967 and in the United States in early 1968, one of the first successful concept albums. It marked a turning point in the development of classic rock, and an assemblage of musicians calling itself the London Festival Orchestra backed the band and yielded two hits, Tuesday Afternoon and the signature Nights in White Satin. On the Search of the Lost Chord in 1968, they traded the orchestra for the Mellotron. Okay, there you go. An electronic keyboard that reproduces orchestral sounds. They continue to use electronic instruments in the subsequent albums and had a number of hits, ironically, by the time Long Distant Voyager, 1981, and the present, 1983, came out. The original of their efforts had been obscured by their success. Playing the synthesizers, had philosophy parts of the rock mainstream. They are a different band. It's a... You know, maybe Electric Light Orchestra.
Yellow,
maybe close. You may yes. Emerson
Chicago.
Lake and Palmer. No, they got horns. A little harder. But yeah, anybody that has that, they can back it up. The Beatles did it wonderfully on their own. McCartney especially. But yeah, it's a good sound to have. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys used it. Or that was the Farron. What's that called? The used for Star Trek intro. That instrument.
Oh,
the Farron
or Farron.
Farron.
Yeah.
Farron. The Farron. That was the time of experimenting with all the equipment that they were able to, build. Or just stack on top of each other with the effects. I was surprised watching when I chose the songs. They're all live. Every one of them except one. But the rest are all live. You'll be able to tell. I think they're better versions. Hey, Deb, can we play Go Now? Go Now.
We've
go now.
Already
there, you
said.
Got it, thank you.
Been great to close out with, even though it was the first hit.
Yeah, that was 1964.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it was written by Bessie Banks, who released it in 64, and they recovered it. Let's see. And it's about to hear a trending song about where the singer has been just broken up with his lover, and he can't bear to see her anymore. This is the Booty Blues second single. The first was unsuccessful, Lose Your Money. The lead singer of the track was Denny Lane, who paid vocals, added such a sick. Okay, I got it.
He's gone now.
The Moody Blues reformed a short time later, and the new member is Justin Hayward. And that's with John Lodge. With John Lodge, that's the guy that's dead up front there that I remember. Did you ever see him?
No, not live.
Oh. I came close.
See him dead?
In concert on, like, YouTube and stuff. You can, you know, seek him out.
I'm just kidding.
I know. That is one of those questions, though, that there is a lot to answer for, so I got to be obnoxious and answer it.
Oh, I'm trading rooms here, so bear with me. Monday.
No.
Surgery.
Wrong band.
That did remind me a little of the Monkees, though, that song.
Okay, they what?
That song, Go Now, it reminded me a little of the Monkees.
I thought it was, at one time I thought it was the Bee Gees.
It was, I don't know. I'm warped.
Can you guys guess what was just handed to me?
Dinner.
Dinner. Turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, and roll. Holy moly.
Well, all right, Mr. Hat.
I will start munching, and we'll see you Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah. I think they'll keep me over. I think they'll probably keep me overnight. All right. Thank you.
Clouds of words. Thank you.
That was Tuesday afternoon. My Moody Blues. It was written by lead singer Justin Hayward, who explained, I sat down in a field, smoked a funny African cigarette, and the song just came out. It was a Tuesday afternoon. Justin Hayward had a dog named Tuesday. But the song had nothing to do with it. African cigarette.
The thing I love about that song, the part when they do the progression change, it reminds me of the old time, you know, like when you're in a play or someone's, you know, on stage and somebody from off stage is narrating, you know, it gives that feeling of, you know, being outside of the main theme, almost like it's an aside, but it's not. And just the way that it's produced, again, you know, it's breathtaking to me. It's the production that put together.
It's full.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how well they kept that sound from the studio and then live. Do it live. Yeah.
That African cigarette, man.
and what a masterful flute player. Denny. Is that Denny?
I always think of Jethro Tull when I hear the flute. I can't help it.
He's a nut. I watched a video of him playing live Aqualung.
He thinks he's a pelican or a crane or whatever that bird is that stands on one leg. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
the first time I saw him do that, I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Isn't there some kind of folk tale or something about Aqualung? Isn't he hide under the bridges and scare kids?
Sitting on the park bench.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
Thick as
Moody
brick.
Blues. definite tape in my hot rod, Moody Blues. That was a good girl background. Girl. Rock and roll.
Oh, like a singer in a rock and roll band, huh?
Just like a singer in a rock and roll band. Hint, Deborah.
We just sing a bit of rock and roll band.
That song's great. It's one of those songs that sounds different live than on the record, but it's still awesome. Yeah.
How I Wrote the Moody Blues, I'm a singer in a rock and roll band. The bassist and vocalist from Birmingham's legendary progressive rock band reveals how he modestly titled hit single to come to be. Born and raised in Birmingham, John Lodge is a bass guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter for the iconic rock band The Moody Blues. After joining keyboardist Mike Pinder, multi-instrumentalist Ray Thomas, he's that flute player, drummer Graham Edge, and guitarist Justin Hayward, 1966. John and the band went on to pioneer and develop the art rock and progressive rock through the early 70s. John had been performing and recording with the Moody Blues for more than 5 decades, selling in excess of 70 million albums, including 18 platinum and gold. Yeah, 18 platinum and gold LPs. And in 2018, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Took that long? Man.
Yeah.
Band's eighth album, 1972, Seventh Sovereign, spawned two singles. If Isn't Life Strange, and I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band. So that's the album, Seventh Sovereign. Sovereign? Yeah. Okay. Both of which John wrote. As he learned here in the latter, reached number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100, making it one of their highest charting hits in the U.S. We also learned how the song was inspired by Vietnam War and crazy fans camped out on John's lawn. I wrote songs, and it was something that I wanted to do with the Moody's. When Justin and I joined in 66, he said, "Listen, we don't want to do all these cover versions. We've done all that for the last 5 years. We want to write our own songs and perform our own music. We hadn't thought about success or not success. That's just what we wanted to do. Everyone wanted to do that. And we realized the secret that is wasn't about us individually. It was us collectively, and made the Moody Blues. Good attitude. Rarely do bands survive. Now, I remember in the late 60s, early 70s, Moody Blues had the untimely fate of becoming the first band to, in court, being sued for a band member who toured with Moody Blues. Didn't write any songs, but he did tour with them for 2 years, I think, maybe longer than that. And when he broke up with the band, or they got kicked out of the band, he wanted royalties.
Sure.
Now, do you think he deserves?
It's like being a session.
He played the songs. That, you know.
I don't think that entitles him to it. It's like being a session player, you know.
Well, it's what the Moody Blues said. Well, we would if we had to pay him or list him on the album. That's what he wanted too. If you're listed on the album, you get paid, and that's what he wanted. It put credits and I remember Justin Hayward on Stan said, "Look, we would have to put all the orchestra people, you know, 20 to 40 people. We can't do that." And that's all he was a keyboard player.
Yeah.
But he went to court, and it had to be, at the time, those laws didn't exist. The copyright, and, you know, when does a band member contribute enough to get royalties or not? That's something that had to be settled in court. And the Moody Blues were the first one to have to deal with that, sadly. But the band won with that guiding money.
Was with 18 platinum. Old records, you know, that kind of didn't affect their output, huh?
Yeah, that was back probably when they had right after 19 White Satin. So they didn't go megastar yet, but yeah, Moody Blues. They can rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's all that synthesizer. It's not. They're all great musicians. I did load one song, Timothy Leary's Dead.
No.
Day in the life. So let's play that. This song is sung by the flute player. Is that his name?
Yes, she did.
Ray Thomas. Ray Thomas. So this is song Ray Thomas sings.
The guy from Wendy's?
Yeah, Ray Thomas. Yeah, how about your way?
Which song?
No, he's the flute player.
Timothy Leary.
Timothy Leary's dead. Timothy Leary's dead. Timothy Leary. Oh, did I not hear that one, Drew? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Timothy Leary. He was a professor at UC Berkeley across the bay from San Francisco. He was a psychonaut.
Okay.
Encouraged the hippie generation to turn on, tune in, and drop out on LSD. The song was written by the band's flute player, Ray Thomas, who, by the way, are two of my favorite rock flute players, Ian Anderson and Ray Thomas. I don't think there are any others. who passed away on January 5th, 2018, suffered from prostate cancer. He was 76. God bless him. Ray Thomas. An old rocker. He looked like an old man out there rocking down. Go, you do it, man. Justin Hayward's got that never look old curse, you know?
Yeah, the timeless look.
Yeah. But, yeah, what a cool band. Many memories, Booty Blues.
I've heard that song arranged a couple of different ways. That one was a little more vocal heavy than I'm used to. I love the way the flute carries that song, because there's certain parts of it, like the flute is actually, you know, doing almost chorus, and it's definitely driving the beat. I mean, I love the flute in that song. That's really a beautiful song for the flute.
It is. That was a good job. That whole album is quite a bit of flute playing. It's a double album set.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I played the hell out of some of those songs. You just put it on, and they're all good. They're all good. And like I said, the whole idea started with that electronic company approaching them, wanting them to create tracks like a surround sound and use that Mellotron thing they got, or the sound they were getting. That was the only gig they had. And then somebody had heard the music. I think it was 1997, or it was Tuesday afternoon, that was released as a single to the electronic company. I have to look up that story again. But, yeah, they pieced it together. Great album. Everybody had it. Couldn't have a record collection if you didn't have that one. Lost Chords, Search of the Lost Chords.
So how
yeah,
do you have two regular songs and three Christmas songs left still?
Okay, what do you feel like? Let's
Nights in White Satin, since you mentioned it.
Okay, let's do Nights in White Satin.
What I'm going try to tell me. Thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be a man. And I'll love you.
Gathering gloom, watch lights fade from every room. I thought it was there. Impassioned lovers, vessel is one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and settles her son. Mute senior citizens wish they were young. Cold hearted orb that rule the night removes the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white. But we decide which is right and which is an illusion. That's pretty much what he says.
Yeah, that's cool.
I never memorized the beginning of the first one. On the intro. Should have.
I used to make my mother crazy back in the days of the records when you dropped the needle. I'd play it over and over again until I memorized certain songs, certain parts.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the garage band. You know, a singer in a rock and roll, if garage bands count, I was a singer in a rock and roll band.
You played that one already.
No, I just, no, I know. Me. I know. It was fun. You grasping for my youth.
I think everyone thinks of that song. Yeah, the name Moody Blues.
Yeah, dumped by his girlfriend, Justin Hayward remembered a gift that she had given him. That she had given him and started writing a song that belonged and became a multi-million selling era-defining classic and earned him not a penny. Whoa. That's what happened, man, back in the day. Recording studios robbed these guys.
Yeah.
Been a hit three times over, sold millions around the globe, appeared on film soundtracks, and inspired more than 60 cover versions. There's even been a theme park ride named after it. Yeah,
oh,
half a century after he wrote it, Justin Hayward still struggles to explain the enduring appeal of the Moody Blues' most famous song, Night in White Satin. It's a curious thing, he says, because when I listen to the record, there's just this big empty space and those wonderful echoes that we had in the studios at Decca. But there's a strange power to the song. It gave us a style that suddenly seemed to work for us. I think it defined the Moody Blues sound. Cool. Let's see. Oh, okay, here's a little bit. First released in November 1967, Nights in White Satin was a masterpiece that bridged pop and symphonic prog with a lyric ripping directly from Hayward's personal life. It finds him caught between ecstasy and despair, ruining the end of the love affair while embarking on another. There was a lot of emotion that went into that song, he affirms. I bet she's regretting doing that. I was 19 or 20 at the time, living in a two-bedroom flat in the Bayswater with Graham Edge, drummer, and our girlfriends.
Wow.
It's cool how they describe how the songs work. It's like Stairway to Heaven. I think it was written on napkins on the way. They had the music. They just needed lyrics. I think they wrote it in the back of the taxi on the way to the studio.
I like Inagata DeVita, that story better.
You know, there's a good story about the bass player, Inagata DeVita. Phil. Philip.
Phil.
Besides being the leader and creator of Iron Butterfly, he worked for the Defense Department and worked on guidance systems for the ICBM missiles. He ended up disappearing one day, and a lot of people thought he walked into the ocean. He was suicidal. Years and years later, they found down in a gully he had driven off the highway. And they found his car and him inside years later.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody thought the Chinese grabbed him, or he'd been kidnapped because of his work with the Defense Department. But he went a little nuts, I guess.
Wild. Although, how surprising that is, you know, considering how the title of the album, the title of that song, rather, you know, started out. He couldn't read his own writing.
I know that feeling. Right, Deb? Let's see. We got some more. Yeah, let's play some more songs. Yeah.
My handset died, and I had to go find my other phone. And in the meantime, AP's been on hold for 5 minutes. So I'm going to let him in, and then I'm going to call on the other line.
I'm sorry.
Welcome, AP.
AP.
Hi, hey. Dad. How you going, guys?
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, AP.
You were on a flow, Adam. You were just running. You know, you just go while you're running with the flow. You know,
what happened to me last night, I called Kim Justice, her show on Wednesday night with the brain injury radio. And I'm sitting there on hold. I push it. I'm on cue. You know, whether you call it, you push one. You're on cue to want to be answered. I answered for the longest time, and she answered somebody else, and it wasn't me. So I go end up messaging her. And I said, "Hey, is it 916? That's me." And she goes, "That's a recording. I took the day off."
That's fun.
I go, "I've been on the phone trying to talk to you."
Well, there you go. Well, that'll teach you.
Oh, well. I thought it was funny.
Okay.
So Moody Blues,
everybody.
Say that again.
Sorry, honey. I said, okay,
back.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
And hello, AP.
Yeah. Hello, AP.
Well, I have nothing, Jeff. I just called up to say hello. You know.
Who would move
you
to you? Who are the Moody's Blues to you?
Well, I mean, you know, it has to be Knights and White Satin, Hatter.
Which we just played.
Yeah, which is you've just played. It has to be Knights and White Satin because it's something sort of really dramatic about how the thing starts and how the thing ends. It feels like you're in the middle of sort of some movie. Because it just is so tense and dense, and you can sort of cut the air with a knife with the way they go about putting the song together, and particularly the start and the end. And so there was something really sort of cool about that song. I really loved it.
Yeah, that symphonic sound. I told the story earlier, AP. I was walking through a snowstorm over a mountain, playing the Moody Blues on the stereo that hooked to my back with about four other guys.
Wow.
It was beautiful. It really was.
It was such a unique sound, Hatter, that whole song. Yeah. And just sort of carved out a piece of music history the minute it was released, really.
Yeah, it didn't help that we took along some mushrooms.
That wouldn't help any better. I hate mushrooms. Doesn't matter what mushrooms they are, I hate them. So, you know, that, as far as I'm concerned, you put mushrooms together with anything and you might as well say, well, that's a complete bloody loss.
Happy.
And even, you know, even the happy mushrooms, you look at those and they just go, why bother? You know, I mean, jeepers, creepers, you know. Get a proper hallucinogen. Me and Mushroom, we really don't, you know, we really don't get on in any way, shape, or form.
Me either. And that's disgusting. Fungus.
And the Mushroom said, why not? I'm a fun guy.
You know, I mean, there's one thing I eat out of mushrooms, and that's mushroom burgers that I make because they taste like meat. And then everything else, it's like, don't bother.
It's like eggplant.
Oh.
Yes. I'm with you.
Barbecue eggplant.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what, just, again, you know, hide it from the sun,
Well, the farm I grew up on, it was in the town called Loomis. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say added to the liver, yeah.
Yeah, as well. My mum used to make liver and bacon, and the quicker I could run away from the dinner table, the better. Adder, I just cooked bacon fine, liver. Oh my god, just the texture. It's like that's, you're not meant to eat that.
Oh, the smell, the smell. When I was a kid, I couldn't stand it either. But I've grown to where I can have it once in a while because I know how good it is for you.
I haven't had it. Since I left home, Hatter. Almost in the same area as mushrooms.
It smells.
Liver and mushroom.
Oh, yeah. No, Rack, just don't even think about it. It's just too gruesome to think.
I remember the first summer that I spent on the farm with my aunt and uncle, one night after the chores, we went up to the dinner table and stayed in there, and there was a big platter on the middle of the table with a cover, which seemed odd to me. And we sat down, and they lifted it up, and it was tongue.
Oh!
It was cow's tongue. And they left it on, just, yeah. Thanks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I can't eat that now.
No, thanks.
It's an acquired taste.
Well, there was a few things like that. I mean, when things got really tough here, we had, you know, liver and bacon, we had tail, which is basically the tail of the cat. Ox tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of...
Because it was sort of, you know, cheap eating, and it was cheap eating. It was stringy and bloody awful. But anyway, you know, it just goes to show what happens when you have a hard sort of bringing up. Hatter, I left that long behind. If I'm having beef, I'm having I fillet, Hatter.
Can you hang with us for a while?
Yeah. We've got a couple
songs to get. Can we do Story in Your Eyes? This is my favorite.
Okay.
Deborah.
Since you have been nice.
Thank you. Please.
You're welcome.
From the ashes we can build another day.
Unmuted. Story in your eyes. Great title.
It's poetry. It's pure poetry.
It is.
And then like, he was talking about the arrangement, you know, that backs that song up. You know, again.
Okay, story in your eyes.
Are you into the mushrooms, or are you losing your page again?
I had to go find this page. Story in your eyes. This song was a bonus track to the album, yet it turned out to be by far its most successful song. Its music and lyrics are among the intense songs of the group. The song seems to be about a man worrying about both his marriage relationship and the world around him, because it's a story in your eyes. Huh. It's a rock and roll song. Let's see. Artifacts about the Moody Blues. See what they have to say. No comments. Oh, I gotta apply. Never mind. Well, we got two Christmas songs, Deborah. You say?
You asked for Christmas songs. I got Christmas songs.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's play a Christmas song. Christmas is coming. On the bend. In a sleigh over road, Rudolph. Throwing Frosty
no.
out the door.
That's not them. Let's try this one. Oh, boy.
Okay.
You're going to look something up. It's Happy Christmas. War is over. Here we go.
Yeah, that's a
so
Beatles song.
Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The old and the young. Merry, Merry Christmas.
strong. The rich and the poor ones. The road is so long. So happy Christmas for black and for white, yellow and red ones, and stop all the fight. A very merry Christmas and a happy new year.
So this is Christmas. It's perhaps one of the most famous opening lines of any Christmas song to date. Just what was the message behind John Lennon and Yoko Ono's iconic track? John Lennon and Yoko Ono's 71 track is one of the most popular Christmas songs, and one also contained a political message that is still resonant to this day. What inspired the song, and how was it made? Here's the facts. Happy Christmas, war is over, meaning... the song came about after more than 2 years of peace activism by John Lennon and his wife Yoko Ono that began with the Bedouins that they created in March and May 1969. The song was part of an international multimedia campaign launched by the couple in December 1969 at the height of the counterculture movement and protest against America's involvement in the Vietnam War. They had rented billboard spaces in 12 major cities around the world for the display in black and white poster that declared, "War is over if you want it. Happy Christmas," from John and Yoko. The slogan had previously appeared in the 1968 anti-war song, "The War is Over" by Phil Oakes and The Unknown Soldier by The Doors. However, it is not known if this was deliberate or merely coincidental. Lennon came up with this song as a way of containing the themes of social unity and peaceful change that via personal accountability that was previously the basis to the earlier billboard campaign. They scared the government, our government scared the hell out of them. Lennon, Dylan, the best protest songs. They were afraid that the one word, they could start a revolution, but Lennon was true to his word. He was all about peace. It wasn't about anything violence. But a very good cover by the Moody Blues. So this is Christmas. Well, let's go back to back. What's the other song? Did you get Silent Night, was it?
White Christmas and What Child Is
This? White Christmas. Wait, how about White Christmas? Take a chance.
Sleigh bells in the snow.
every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be
White Christmas. I just looked up White Christmas in the Urban Dictionary. You don't want to know. Jesus.
Who was that?
Oh, man. Somebody was dreaming of a White Christmas. Wanted to snow. It's pretty much self-explanatory. Oh, wow.
Yes,
yeah, that's
connection to
cocaine. Yeah. I remember that that adventure we went when we hiked up that mountain in that snowstorm. That was 2 days after Christmas, I think it was.
You went hiking 2 days after Christmas up a mountain?
Over the mountain, yeah. You did about, I guess about 5 or 6 miles. Hiking, and it wasn't too bad. It was so cold, but it wasn't snowing too bad. But overnight, we were there for 2 days, and when we came back, couldn't even see down the path. It was snowing so hard, and no wind, just dropping snow. It was absolutely beautiful.
How old were you?
I would have been 17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
I did nothing that exciting when I was 17.
Well, it was one of those things where, don't go. My parents didn't want me to go. I went anyway.
Yes, you do.
That's the kind of memory with you, I think.
Well, they had the last laugh. Because I came home with tonsillitis.
That'll do it.
So the hike out wasn't that pleasant, but it was absolutely beautiful. I just walked in the door, looked at him, and I go, "You okay?" And I shook my head, "No." "You need to go to the hospital?" I shake my head, "Yes." Let's go. They knew. And they didn't scold me. Yeah, they knew I paid for it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Moody Blues. So let's listen. The rest of the week, tomorrow is Man Cave. Man Cave with Stephen 76. We chat about anything we want at the time. You can call in, be a part. We'll play some songs, maybe do some poetry, but more of a talk. Then Saturday, it is Deborah Lee, A.P. Taylor, and myself, and it's about television.
Television.
It's a prompt if you want to write for the show. Yeah, anything about television, TV.
Are they going to be commercial?
We'll
try some.
It can be anything you want. Anything you want. But and then next Monday, I don't know if there's anything Sunday. Monday is pick your prompt, Deb. What are you doing Monday?
Monday, I'm doing black and white art. Really, really, a big variety of really cool black and white art. And I pulled out the crayon box and got all the colors that just relate to like black, gray, ash bone, chalk, charcoal, mushroom. I had to put that in there. Pearl, pepper, you know, so that you can use six of those to bring some color to the black and white art. Again, there's some really, really cool ones here. There's even a sort of darkish Alice hatter. Make sure you check out number nine. And one of them, number 12, is a wolf, and the wolf has a dragon. It looks like he's wearing a mask, but it's the markings in the coat. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of really cool ones. And then Sweet will be on Tuesday. I'm just not sure what her topic is, but Monday and Tuesday are both 10 p.m.
Oh, man, okay.
Did you listen to the Moody Blues like in the 80s?
Did I? Oh, yeah.
Because they had that song, You Know You're Out There Somewhere.
Somebody's, no.
I Know You're Out There Somewhere.
Yeah, I Know You're Out There.
And I got
that
too.
Oh, okay. Let's play that.
Okay.
Somehow, somehow, I know I'll find you.
I hope you're out there somewhere. Yeah. Always hope there's somebody out there looking for you.
When she mentioned the title, I had to stop myself from correcting her because there's a band called Triumph that has a song, Somebody's Out There Somewhere.
The Thieves. Music's weird. Rock, you want to say anything in closing?
Thank you for hanging out with us, and I had fun. Thank you, Deb, for making it possible, and thank you, Team of Voices, for giving us a place to call home.
And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. So it's Christmas time. It's countdown to Christmas. Oh, go ahead, Deb.
The song we just listened to was they had a song in apparently in 1968, Your Wildest Dreams, and that was the speaker for that.
Oh, really? I didn't catch the. Oh, cool. So it just proves you can take a poem. You can take a piece of art that you've done in the past, pick it back up, and make it better. How's that?
In your wildest dream. Yeah.
Now
I got
that
here. Deb, thanks.
So, Deborah, you want to say anything else in closing?
Love and respect.
There you go.
How's that?
That sounds good. That's a good one. Yeah. What do you want to go out with, Rack? That song?
But there was one last Christmas song we didn't play, right?
There's the one last Christmas song, or there is the song that inspired the song we just listened to. Up to you guys. Wildest Dreams.
Wildest Dreams is a better song.
Would you like to go out with?
You pick, Deb. I think I'd like to hear the early version. I'm curious. Take my wife, please.
It's not a remake though. It's a sequel to. It's the original song, and then the one we just listened to was a response. I just forgot about the first one, and we could have played them in order, but we didn't. So let's go backwards and see why he wrote that thing.
All right, let's do this.
Sweet dreams.
Great music, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Have a nice day. See you guys. See you guys later. Bye-bye.